You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Two brutal attacks across the Motu have returned public attention to an issue that stubbornly refuses to be resolved. Since 2020, we've seen a 20% increase in injuries to people from dogs, coming to nearly 30,000 dog-related injuries reported per year, half of which are bites. And this is without mandatory reporting in Aotearoa. In the wake of these dog attacks, which saw one woman in Northland lose her life and a father and son in Christchurch severely injured, many people are looking for the government to act to address on this issue that frequently flies under the radar until tragedies like this strike. But how to respond and what, if any, changes should they focus on remains an open question. To get his opinion on how we should approach the issue, I spoke with Associate Professor at Auckland Law School, Marcelo Rodriguez Ferreira, on the issue of animal control legislation reform.
I want to start us off today by just getting your initial thoughts on the issue that has gripped a bit of the New Zealand news cycle and attention in recent days after these two separate dog attacks. How do you approach this to begin with?
Well, one, it's really important to, I think, sort of take a sort of sober analysis. These attacks are absolutely horrific and, you know, really can't be sort of condemned enough in the most uncertain terms. But they're also not unusual, unfortunately. Dog attacks are pretty consistent, and we have a high number of them in this country. And although the attacks have got into the headlines in recent days, there have been sort of many more sort of serious dog attacks in the last few years that just haven't made those headlines in the same way. So this is, unfortunately, nothing particularly new. And as a result, sort of reacting to the particular occasions with sort of a knee-jerk reaction is something that is deeply sort of unwise, and that's what I'm sort of suggesting is the government shouldn't do in this particular instance.
What would you recommend the government do in this instance?
Yeah, well, both the SPCA and other organisations have sort of really suggested that a complete overhaul of the Dog Control Act is needed. The Dog Control Act turns 30 years old this year. That means it's sort of 30 years out of date. And in addition to sort of it being a really kind of unworkable framework, there are sort of additional sort of concerns, sort of the lack of enforceable national standards for sort of the breeding of dogs, unclear sort of minimum standards in terms of their welfare. The whole thing needs a complete rewrite and a foundational change. What we've seen in the past is that when sort of serious dog attacks occur and break through into the headlines, there can be a tendency to have knee-jerk legislative responses. So early in this century, 2003, there was a very serious dog attack against a seven-year-old girl. It made a lot of headlines. And as a result, there was a sort of change, essentially putting significant controls on dangerous and menacing dogs. Now, clearly that legislative change did absolutely nothing to help the situation or prevent dog attacks. And that's why sort of a whole sort of sober, evidence-led, thoughtful conversation and policy-driven sort of reformulation of the dog control legislation that we've got is necessary.
You've emphasised the need to not have a knee-jerk reaction here. Is it possible that a knee-jerk reaction might be in some ways important in the sense of not losing concern for this issue?
Oh, sure. Look, if the sort of concern that we've got can sort of capture and begin the sort of process for a sort of a policy-led, actual sort of science-based reform of our dog control legislation, then I'm all for it. But what it mustn't do is sort of provoke the government into making a small change so as to be seen to be doing something and mollify some of the sort of concerns and outrage that there is in society. It's a really bad way of creating law because you might be sort of thinking that you're doing the right thing, but the long-term consequences of such a sort of piecemeal approach to legislative design can create more problems than it originally tried to solve. So at the moment, if you look at the dog control legislation that we've got, there are all sorts of weird amendments that were made as a result of responding to a particular crisis at a particular time. And as a result, there isn't a whole lot of cohesion in the way that it's supposed to work. So presently, we've got sort of local government, lots of different councils doing lots of different things, some better resourced and better equipped to deal with a problem than others. And that means that we have so much inconsistency with the way that we deal with dogs in this country, when really we're a small country, we need a national cohesive approach to this. So if the momentum that we've got here sort of leads to that, awesome. But if it leads to a sort of a short-term fix, which is something that we like to do in this country, we have a tendency to do that, then that's a bit of a problem.
Well, at the risk of jumping too quickly into thinking about solutions, is there any that you feel would be worth tabling for consideration?
Yeah, well, I suggested that there are models in Europe that we might want to think about. Sort of if we really want to fundamentally change the way that we think about sort of owning companion animals and specifically dogs, we might want to think about whether or not it's appropriate to have a licensing system for owners rather than a registration system for dogs. Because often what we consider a right to sort of own animals is actually a privilege, and it comes with a great degree of responsibility. And it's really important that those who sort of own and care for companion animals know what they're doing and know the proper sort of approach. It's a big responsibility to own a dog, and so that should come with some sort of requirements or for education, for instance, about sort of how to care for it properly. We might also want to think about sort of the way that we sort of enforce dog control legislation. At the moment, it's very, very sort of cumbersome to sort of enforce some of the provisions of the Dog Control Act. They are sort of enforced often by sort of animal control officers of local councils, which are pretty under-resourced. And often what will be necessary is that you'd need to take someone to court before there could be any sort of action taken. It's a very cumbersome and expensive process, and might be part of the reason why we don't see a lot of enforcement of dog control legislation or bylaws, simply because it's just too difficult. And so the whole point is that there are lots of different ways of sort of looking at the enforcement provisions, but also sort of looking at sort of the ownership responsibilities that might lead to sort of a general rethink of the way that we interact with dogs in this country.
What would you say to dog owners who feel they have been responsible and have a very deep and close relationship with their dogs, and are now at this point, when we're having this conversation, uncomfortable at the idea that they might be at risk of losing their companion or losing something that's very dear to them?
Yeah, it's a really tricky situation. Sometimes you're going to have a really sort of responsible dog owner who has done everything right, and just a sort of a freak circumstance leads to a dog sort of biting or attacking in a situation where there really is sort of extenuating circumstances. This is another problem with the Dog Control Act. There's a really sort of zero tolerance policy that the Act leads to sort of basically the destruction, is what the term that the Act uses, of the dog when it has engaged in that. And that's just another aspect that we need to look at, because there will be good dog owners and people who sort of really want to sort of do the best by their dogs, and that they shouldn't be punished by a sort of fairly sort of antiquated regime. So there are 800,000 dogs in this country. Many of them are companion animals. Some of them are working dogs. All of them are important, and all of them deserve our sort of protection as sort of vulnerable animals. And sort of just really having a good think about how we do the best by them, but also with the effect that they can have on society and minimising any sort of negative impact that they might have. All of these things need to be looked at when we're sort of casting about for sort of new legislative change.
Before we go today, is there any final thoughts you want to share with us?
No, I mean, this is just a conversation that sort of pops up sort of every sort of couple of years. It's a perennial issue when there is a serious attack and it sort of creates a fairly sort of sensational headlines. We're sort of always motivated to talk about what we can do about the situation. And as you say, I hope that this starts to create a bit of momentum for sort of actual thoughtful and effective change. And hopefully that means that we have this conversation a little less.
Well, hopefully we won't be back with you talking on this topic anytime soon. Thank you very, very much.
That was Associate Professor at Auckland Law School, Marcelo Rodriguez Ferrero, about the need for thought-through reform rather than knee-jerk changes in response to the recent and brutal dog attacks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.